Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe, because that's what we do here. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And you've been playing some emulator games, I hear.
Yeah.
That's right. As you just told me before we started.
I literally went, Joe, I want to talk about emulator games. You're like, okay.
and now we're going to talk about those.
Goddamn right we are.
Well, yeah. So what games have you been playing?
Well, I've been, for the sake of the show, I've been playing some wrestling games.
Yeah.
But I have played a lot of other games. Like, I've been playing a lot of shooters. Like, I did track down Gunneck.
Okay.
Gunneck is great. What else have I been? Super R-Type.
Yeah.
Because I got the Super NES one, the emulator, so I'm messing with that. I'm messing around with some Game Gear stuff, too. There's a few Game Gear shooters. I think one's called, like, Haley's Alley or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like a shoot, like, supposed to be based on the Comet. Fantasy Zone for Game Gear. Messing around with that.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to also play some X-Men Super Spider-Man games for, like, the... For like Super Nintendo, and some of those are hard, and some of those not hard, but they're frustrating.
Yeah,
because it's just a cheap game, and I'm not using the right controller. I don't know.
Yeah, you can get, because now that you've got your emulator up and working, you can get like a USB Super Nintendo controller.
Can you?
Yeah, those are a thing.
See, I feel like I should. I don't know.
What are you playing with? A regular, like your PS4 controller?
I'll show you later. But yeah, I'm just using a regular PS4 controller because that seems to... I had a PS3 controller I was trying to get to work and it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it would work for a second and it would stop.
Yeah.
And now now the PS4 one's the only one that works.
Yeah.
So I've been playing with that. And then I've decided to play some wrestling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some NES ones that I didn't get to.
Okay.
So I got to WCW.
Okay, that one's... turd.
And that one sucks.
Yeah.
And it sucks. You know what sucks too is that it's a pretty diverse roster for
It's a very good roster. Yeah.
It's a very good roster for a WCW game in 1989. Because you got,
if I'm not mistaken, doesn't it only have Rick Steiner and no Scott Steiner?
Well, because Scott probably wasn't.
Yeah, probably wasn't there.
Yeah, Scott was just starting out at the time. Yeah. So it makes sense that Rick was there and Scott wasn't. So Rick's there. Eddie Gilbert's there.
Yeah.
Eddie Gilbert, I think that's the only time he was in the game. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, I don't think he's been in any other game.
He's never been in any iteration of any WCW, ECW, WWF Legends game. Because he's not really, like, that was pretty much like...
Was he in Legends of Wrestling?
Okay, you know, he probably was in that.
Yeah.
You know what, I'll take that back. Because I forget about those games. Probably for good reason.
Yeah.
I've never played those games, and I'm not really interested.
Those games aren't terrible. I mean, the WWF SmackDown games at the time were better. But those Legends of Wrestling games were actually okay.
Maybe I should feel a few of those out and see if I like them. Because it is kind of the novelty of that. But it's one of those things, too, where and maybe you might have to help me with this. Because, like, those are... when I'm playing a game on an emulator, it's like, oh, these are smaller files. But those other games are much bigger.
Yeah, they're a lot bigger.
Because they're on discs, you know? So I've been playing those games, and then I play. So, but it sucks because you got Kevin Sullivan in there, you got Michael Hayes. You know, you have a pretty diverse roster, and they have like finishers, like moves they do. But it's just a hard game to play.
Yeah,
it's just not good. It's just not easy to play.
Have you played Tecmo World Wrestling yet?
I have not played that yet.
That one is the one to play. That's so
I heard that's the jam.
That is the best NES wrestling game.
I've heard that.
Is.
Yeah, and I've also haven't played just regular pro wrestling yet.
I'd say that like Tecmo World Wrestling and Pro Wrestling are the two best wrestling games.
Yeah,
and then there's Tag Team Wrestling.
That's the one where you have to scroll through the moves.
Yeah, it's not very good. I liked what they were trying to do, but it's not very good. And then all those WWF wrestling games. Then they had the Muscle Wrestling game. That game's a turd.
Yeah. Now, I also did play a little bit of Sega Master System Wrestling.
That game sucks as well.
I like it. It's if I can handle it better, I think I need a Master System controller to do it. I feel like it would be easier, but
I actually have that game, and I have the box.
And it's with the head?
Yeah, it's a decapitated body giving a headlock.
I like it.
To a severed head. So it must be giving himself a headlock.
I like it.
That's the artwork of the game.
Yeah, it's
good. I remember when I was a kid seeing that game at Silo.
Silo!
Yeah, I was like, oh man, that's a great game. And then later on in life, I bought it, and I was like, oh man, this game sucks.
You know what? My back neighbor that used to live behind us, mm-hmm. we were friends with them, and he had a Sega Master System.
Oh, okay.
So I would go there, and we would play pro wrestling and also the Double Dragon version, which actually, I think that's my favorite version of Double Dragon.
Yeah, that's a very good version.
It's compared to I've never really been a fan of the NES version.
Yeah.
I think the arcade version is fine, but this is my favorite one.
Yeah, the Master System version's good. Now Double Dragon 2 for NES is very good.
But, it is. It's okay. It's I do enjoy it. I have that on the NES Classic, which I think that was a pretty good choice to put on there.
Yeah.
I think for in terms
of
it's two players and it's I think it's just it is a better game once you kind of get used to it, and I remember having that for regular NES and playing that. So, but also what I did was I downloaded a Game Boy emulator and I played WCW Main Event. That came out after or before around the same time as Super Brawl Wrestling.
Okay.
So you had Steve Austin wasn't in Super Brawl Wrestling, but he was in Main Event.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know how to I don't really know how to play it, and I'm having trouble with it. And then, but I did play some Super Brawl Wrestling, and I did figure out some moves.
Yeah,
how to do some
as well.
It's not that bad. I don't think it's that bad.
I picked it up for $10 at the Melrose Trading Post a few years ago, and at the time, $10 it wasn't going for much more than that. But now it's like a $30 game because Super Nintendo games are like very inflated in, as far as price goes.
But that one's a rare one because nobody really. That's one of those games where I didn't realize it came out. Like, and here's the thing. Like, I would read comics. Yeah. I would read wrestling magazines around that time. I had no idea that existed.
Oh, I knew it existed. I remember
I don't ever see a commercial for it.
Just from seeing it in WCW Magazine. Which
I never read
it.
Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense.
That's how I knew that it was a thing. And I just never bought it. And then I never had a Super Nintendo until, like, by the time I had my Super Nintendo as a kid, like, I want to say, like, that game was probably already a few years old, and I had moved past it. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
So
I also played HAL Wrestling for Sega for Game Boy, which I did have as a kid. It is based on, like, Japanese, kind of like New Japan or All Japan stuff. And it's a lot of fun. I just haven't – the mechanics, you know, using a controller like I'm using doesn't really feel right to me.
Yeah.
So I haven't – maybe I have to get myself a USB – I think of myself a USB, at least an NES one. At least have that handy.
Nah, go with a Super Nintendo one, because then you'll have all the buttons, so you can use it for every emulator that you have.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'll do that. Because I feel like the NES, the PlayStation 1, is just it's something that, I mean, I like it, but at the same time, it doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel right. So maybe I'll just maybe I'll think that's a good idea. But I'll have to. But HAL Wrestling, I remember that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to show you that. I don't know, are you familiar with that one?
I remember seeing advertisements for it, but I don't think I've ever played it.
You should. We'll have to check it out because it's a lot of fun. So that and I think that's about it.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about real quick. So I'm drinking this Coke Zero. You have the little can, so it makes my hand look like the Andre the Giant hand holding.
I know
the,
you're
holding the
Molson.
The Molson. So Coke Zero recently changed their formula and they rebranded it as Coke Zero Sugar.
Yeah.
So I've tried it. Have you tried it?
No.
You haven't tried it.
Haven't yet.
So
I've seen it, but I haven't.
They say it tastes more like regular Coke. So I was like, all right, let's give this a try. And it doesn't taste more like regular Coke. It doesn't taste like a zero-calorie soda, so I give them credit for that. But it tastes more like – it reminded me instantly of President's Choice from Sam's Club. That's what I was drinking. That's what I thought when I drank it. And I was like, this tastes more like a generic brand, off-brand soda than it does regular Coke.
Right.
And I wish they would have just left it alone.
Apparently, they had to change it. But here's the good thing, though, is that because out here we have Ralph's stuff.
Yeah.
And so what's whatever their zero calorie.
Which is what I buy usually.
And that one's pretty good. That one's a serviceable Coke Zero knockoff.
The Ralph's, the Cola O, it's called.
Cola O, that's right.
Yeah. And then the Refresh brand is the Vons brand.
Mm.
So I'll buy both of those. That's what I, when I'm at the grocery store, I buy the generic stuff.
But here's the thing.
That's what I like.
Coke Zero Cherry Coke Zero is the fucking bomb.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss that.
I still have two 12 packs in my fridge because I thought you were going to come over and record this past week. So I made sure I stocked up on it.
Oh, good.
And then and then you ended up having the podcast festival or whatever you were doing. And so you didn't end up coming over. So I have all this left that I'll be drinking this next couple
of weeks. Oh, no. Take.
It's not getting saved. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, you mess with that because I think I might have to go and catch some of those before they go out of fashion because whatever's out there is probably that's it.
Yeah, because they're transitioning to the Coke Zero Sugar. So a lot of places I'm seeing the Coke Zero Sugar in the cans, but the Cherry Zero is still the same Cherry Zero. So yeah, get it while you can.
I know. I don't want. I'm trying to like not be a soda guy as much.
Don't. Just embrace who you are. Just love you for you. And that's what I'm doing. I mean, I've switched to zero calorie, which is fine. Because, yeah, we used to drink soda, like just regular soda. And I don't know about you, but I was drinking like, I don't know, at least like six cans a day. And
I wasn't drinking, I don't think I was drinking that much, but I, because usually if I'm drinking a drinking soda, like these I have, I buy these small ones and yeah. I can drink a bunch of them, but I will maybe do like one can, but I was, you know, it's just a fact that I'm like going to Ralph's and buying like the blue raspberry yeah. shit, or just buying all this, you know, regular stuff. And it's just, I just couldn't be doing it. And I know the diet stuff isn't any better for you.
Ralph's has such great generic flavors.
They do.
They have such a wide variety. And it's like, oh, I want to try that, but I can't. Because you can only buy it in a 12-pack. So it's like, then I'm stuck with an 11-pack at home. What am I going to do?
Yeah. No, yeah. I haven't seen anything recently. But, I mean, I haven't been as fascinated with the colas. I mean, I've seen, because I've been through a bunch of iterations of, how would you say it? Mountain Dews.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of, I've seen the Mountain Dews.
Yeah.
And I've been like, I'm not going to do it.
I don't really particularly like Mountain Dew. So.
Well, I'm willing to try it because I'm yeah. like, well, what is this like? Because it's a different, you know, like you always had just regular Mountain Dew and then you had Code Red and then you have all these other brands flying around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I'll give this a shot, but it's not. It's, you know, I can't do it because it's pretty much just, I mean, I said any cola is not good because cola is just not a natural thing.
No.
It's just, it's science.
It's delicious though.
It's delicious science that's you're throwing in your mouth for whatever reason. And, you know, I've been partial to just drinking water lately because my body needs
I've definitely drink more water lately than I have. And I've been doing a lot more walking since I got a Fitbit. So I try to get at least, when I'm at work, I try to get at least 11,000 steps in a day.
That's good.
And so what I'll do is I'll go for a walk around the block, and then when I get back, I'll have a glass of water. And I try to do that two or three times a shift. So I'm at least getting like two or three glasses of water a shift.
Yeah.
So that's more water than what I used to drink, which was like zero water, because I think water is boring and I hate it.
Water is boring, but I've come to the idea, and I used to actually put some of those squirt things in there.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll have a hankering for those, and I was drinking a lot of water that way.
Yeah.
But then now I just drink it straight.
I like some sparkling water.
I can't do sparkling water.
See, Vons has flavored sparkling water that like their own generic yeah. Refresh brand, and it's really good. The cherry sparkling water at Vons tastes just like cherry Coke to me. It's or cherry 7-Up, rather, and it's awesome.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not into sparkling, especially when you go to a restaurant. They're like, would you like sparkling water? Get the fuck away from me.
I usually get the sparkling water. Yeah.
No.
I dig it. It's cool.
So if you have an opinion on sparkling water, go on our Facebook page.
And let us know.
Let us know if you had any wrestling experiences related to sparkling water. Did Lex Luger give you a sparkling water once?
Was he on the U.S. Express tour and was he drinking a sparkling water and let you have a sip when you were getting his autograph? Like, or like you looking at it, he's like, he has like a bottle of Perrier. He's like, oh, you want some? Here you go, kid. And he's wearing his puffy shirt.
He's wearing the puffy shirt and Zubaz. And he's like, hey, kid, you want a sip of this Perrier? All right, I'm going back. Attack the rack or whatever. Whatever, the fucking whatever. Did he ever have a catchphrase?
No.
What was Luger's catchphrase? He had a catchphrase.
I don't think he had a catchphrase.
Like even when he was just regular old Luger, did he ever have a catchphrase? I feel like no. He did. Like he would. Was his catchphrase just flex and scream?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess so.
I mean, he was just I'm the total package.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not really a catchphrase.
No.
Anyway, so we'll come back with our book for the week.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them?
Bad.
I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
All right, we are back, and we have Sports Review Wrestling from February of 1984.
I am not a fan of this particular magazine as much as I remember I was.
I was a fan of this cover.
Well, this cover is great.
Which is why
I'm just saying this particular brand, the Sports Review book is...
Yeah, it's not a very good magazine.
It's just it's a kind of a jumbled magazine.
But we're running out of magazines because we've gone through them a lot. And who's the guy on VWI who hit you up on Twitter?
Stu Sachs, yeah.
If you want to send us some magazines, by all means, we're still taking some magazines. But
anything from before 1995 and before.
Yeah, or after 1995.
Or, okay, 90 before
2000, let's say.
Yeah, before 2000. Yeah. Let's just do that. Yeah. So, but yeah, that would be we need to get more because we have a lot more random books that we can do, but
we have a few more. We're running out.
We have some.
I'll hit some. Going to go on eBay pretty soon.
But... Well, we got to go to Frankensons and find that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to Frankensons.
No, it's too far.
Sucks.
The parking sucks there.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So Sports Review Wrestling from February 1984. We're not that far off from our last week's book.
6 months off.
Yeah.
6 months ahead. Fast forward.
Fast forward 6 months ahead, and this is what's going on in wrestling. It is, so it's a famous cover. Well, it's a pretty famous cover. It's about a very famous match.
Yeah.
That wasn't well known, or it's well known amongst hardcore wrestling fans, and it just got uncovered. We're talking about Tommy Rich versus Buzz Sawyer in the last battle of Atlanta, which for years the footage was supposedly lost, and then they finally released it on the network, sans commentary. And it's not that good of a match.
No.
It's just a bunch of people running themselves into getting bloody and running themselves into a cage.
They definitely bled a lot. I guess like back then that was taboo. Like that was a big thing. Because there is a lot of blood. I guess nowadays it'd be taboo because there's really not a lot of blood anymore.
No, they don't do blood. I mean, WWE doesn't definitely do blood, and TNA might still pull it out here and there. But
Global Force Wrestling.
Or Global Force or whatever.
I guess it's called now. I don't know.
Global Force.
I've downsized my DirecTV package. I no longer get the channel that it's on, that Pop Network.
Yeah.
So I don't watch it. I never watched it when I got the channel.
That's one of those things with TNA or Global, whatever they're calling it, Global Force. Like, I'll see it. And I'll be like, I could watch it. Because on Pluto TV, you could watch some of that.
Now that like Jeff Jarrett's in charge of it again, I definitely want to watch it. I know Jim Cornette was on it like last week.
Jim Cornette's back, yeah.
So it's figure. It's probably going to have a little bit of a renaissance and come back to be something I want to watch again.
I guess,
so
I don't know.
I think if it's on Hulu or something, I'll check it out. But I'm not going to like subscribe to...
I'm not going
to
be on Hulu.
I'm not going to subscribe... Well, I don't know. Does Hulu have Pop Wrestling or Pop... Network. Well,
Hulu's a universal company, so it's only going to have WWE probably on there.
Oh.
I can't think of any other wrestling that would be on there. So.
Pop Wrestling or Pop Network. I keep calling it Pop Wrestling.
It's Pop TV, I guess.
Pop TV used to be the TV Guide channel.
Right.
Now it's Pop TV because they realized that you don't need a TV Guide channel. You could just hit the guide button and have a guide.
And now they put wrestling on there.
So now they have wrestling.
So, yeah.
And it used to be on Destination USA, which was a great channel, which I loved watching it on, but... It's not on that anymore.
Because nobody wants it.
Yeah.
nobody cares enough to have it on TV.
But Jeff Jarrett will turn it around.
I hope so.
Because if anyone could do it, Jeff Jarrett can.
Well, he didn't do it the first time.
Oh, he did it the first time. Then it got taken away from him by Dixie Carter and Panda Energy. And they're finally gone. The reign of Dixie is over.
Yeah, Dixie Carter is a weird woman.
Yeah.
I never trusted her.
There was a forum on the wrestling classics, so like name one person that you could do without in the wrestling business, and people were naming all these names. And I was like, how about Dixie Carter? And nobody responded to me. I thought that was a great person.
I think that was a good choice.
Yeah.
So Last Battle of Atlanta, basically Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich fought each other for like a year and a half. And I still don't know what exactly they fought over.
Yeah, they probably fought over something that was relevant.
They just brawled. And
so I'm assuming Tommy Rich is the face.
Tommy Rich was the face and Buzz Sawyer was the heel.
Yeah.
Buzz Sawyer is fucking awesome. I'm a big fan of Buzz Sawyer. I don't know. It's just like he was kind of ahead of his time.
He had a great build, great look.
Great look, and he just moved really good for a guy his size.
Yeah.
And he was just aggressive and just weird, and you know, and he's a great brawler, but he can take it to the mat. He was awesome, you know, but he definitely he died when he was like what, 33?
Yeah, he was really young.
Really young because he just did a bunch of drugs, He just did he lived hard. But yeah, Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich took each other, you know, to the limits in this match where they would battle each other in this cage that was placed over a cage. I think it was like a Hell in a Cell kind of thing. Yeah. Like there was definitely a top to this cage. And so this cover is basically Buzz Sawyer about to throw Tommy Rich to the mat. And it's a great photo because they're both covered in blood.
It looks like the photographer was inside the ring. That's how close it is.
It is stellar photo.
He must have got like right up in there and just like,
or he must have had a good exit
in the thing. Into the cage. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, you could even see it. It's so good that you could even see the whites of Tommy Rich's eyes as he's about to be thrown to the mat.
Yeah.
And it's fucking awesome. So, yeah. So we're going to talk about that. And then there's Mil Máscaras and Dos Caras. One Night Reunion, the brother tag team that cannot survive. Also, Kansas City Chaos, a night of superstar action. Sports Review interview, Mike Rotundo. And then at the very top, we've got a little inset quarter picture here. The savagery of a bull rope match. Austin Idol beats Stan Hansen at his own brutal game. And you got a picture of a bloody Austin Idol.
Bleeding.
Yeah, they're both bleeding, and a lot of blood on this cover here.
I love when wrestlers like Stan Hansen wear all black, but then their knee pads are navy blue. That's awesome.
That's right.
I love that look.
Yeah, I like when they throw out the palette.
That reminds me, for some reason. So we've been talking about for a while now, you and I doing a show with WWE wrestling, and I've decided we should hold off until 2K18 comes out, because if we started it now, 2K18 will be out in like a month, and by then
for the game
so then by then we'd have to like redesign everything, so we'll just start from scratch when 2K18 comes out. I will get it at launch, and we will start a show from scratch.
I should probably get it at launch.
Yeah,
I never do, but maybe I could, because I'm
an Amazon Prime member.
I am, actually.
Well, you can pre-order it for like $45.
But do I get the Kurt Angle?
Yeah, you should. I don't think it's available yet physically for pre-order, but once it does, I'm going to. And then you should get Kurt Angle. And then
I don't really care that much.
And then they haven't announced the DLC yet.
So. Well, they haven't, because they're slowly now. They announced more names for the game.
Yeah, they finally announced the entire roster.
But they haven't.
I thought they have. They've
no, announced. They still have. They have like two more like things, because they're doing
weekly. What's taking them so long?
They're doing like weekly releases of all the names.
Oh,
and like the, you know, because they haven't gotten to anything new yet. I think they're saving all the stuff that might be new to like later down the line, because they've announced a few other new names, like Ember Moon's in the game. Oh, shit, there's a few others that were new.
I saw that, like,
I think Tozawa's in the game.
If you buy like the collector's edition, you get alternate John Cena attire from 2006.
Well, because there's a special like thing that you can get for John Cena's path, and you get like Batista, and I think you get a few other guys.
There's like Batista and Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam's in there.
Yeah, they must be going back to the John Cena Rob Van Dam feud.
Well, I think that means you must get the Hammerstein too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think I have to go back and look at that, because maybe I need that.
I might have to buy that collector's edition,
because I need those things. I need those arenas.
I need Hammerstein Ballroom.
I need different arena. I need like something. I really just wish they would just figure the fuck out and just do the old school Manhattan Center.
I wonder if Sabu will be in the game then.
No, I think they are. Whatever's for the Cena thing is there. Yeah. So they already have him against RVD and him against Batista. So they, or whoever. And I think somebody else is there too. But yeah, so I mean, that's not a bad deal. But I mean, they're basically announcing all these names, and basically, and I think we talked about this last one of our other episodes, but they announced these names and they're already, or maybe we haven't. They announce these names, and it's all the shit that was in the game in the DLC the year before. Yeah, because
they've announced the Von Erichs and Buddy Roberts and Michael Hayes.
And like, but they're in there because you couldn't get them before. But for some reason, they keep porting them over, all these guys over. And I'm like, you know you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I know maybe it's easier to pad it out. And maybe it's easier to have, you know, you can have the certain kind of files or whatever. Maybe it's just easier to do it that way and kind of like have like a certain template for the game. Because I'm not a game designer. I don't know exactly how it works, but that's just how they do it. And I don't necessarily... I mean, look, I'll take a Jimmy Garvin in my game, but I don't need a Jimmy Garvin in my game if I already had him in the last game.
Yeah.
Because that means you're just... you could easily put, let's say, Carlos Colon in the game for whatever reason.
I want Carlos Colon.
I want a Ron Bass. I want... You want to do Saba Simba? You know, do Saba. You want a Brooklyn Brawler? Put that.
How come Brooklyn Brawler's not in any of these games?
He's never had a game.
Yeah.
I don't think. I think in all the years that he's been in wrestling, I don't think he's ever had a game. I'm almost positive. I'm probably wrong, but I'm almost positive.
Yeah, Brooklyn Brawler. Put him in the game. Please. Do like a story mode where you have to climb the ranks and your first opponent's the Brooklyn Brawler.
Your first 20 opponents is Brooklyn Brawler, because that's all you do is wrestle him on house shows.
Yeah.
Because that's how it goes. You're before they put you up to TV, you got to wrestle. You got to beat him a bunch. So anyway, starting off with the mailbag in the Sports Review Wrestling, we've got this is where I wanted to talk about one of the letters. Somebody from Ohio writes in, and they're talking about how, I guess, so after this match, this last Battle of Atlanta, like shortly after that, Buzz Sawyer turned face. And at one point, him and Dusty Rhodes teamed up to wrestle the Road Warriors in Cleveland. And they ran the Road Warriors out of Cleveland. I want to see that match.
How do you run the Road Warriors out of Cleveland?
Well, they're already leaving anyway.
I think they were like, you know what? We're done with Cleveland, so run us out.
Well, you know what's funny about Georgia wrestling is that they would do... So they were obviously based in Georgia in those areas, but they would trying to expand, they would do like Ohio and like Michigan.
Yeah.
And they would just do those areas.
Yeah, like Cleveland.
That's where they had TV, I think.
And probably like Chicago. Those were like those two weird cities where like they weren't really part of any territory. You'd think Chicago would have been AWA territory.
Well, they were.
Yeah, but
they were, but there's also the WWA.
Yeah.
There's that kind of thing. Like that's like the Crusher. Or the Bruiser had that area, like it was mostly like Indiana, mostly. But yeah. So I just want to point that out. I thought that was really cool. The Tattler. I like the name, the Tattler.
Yeah, and it's got Playboy Buddy Rose, and they're talking about, I guess he turned face in Portland and teamed up with Kurt Hennig.
Turning over a new leaf and beating the Rip Oliver and the Assassin.
Yeah.
I got to watch an Assassin squash match on World Class the other day. He won with a backbreaker.
Oh,
a side backbreaker, which is actually an underrated move. And a lot of people, I feel like I've seen Michael Hayes use that once as a finisher on a WCW match, or NWA match. So it's an underrated move. And Jules Strongbro, I actually kind of like this because this sounds really, really shitty. In another Pacific Northwest development, Jules Strongbro used the Indian Deathlock to break the leg of Mean Mike Miller. Strongbow apologized for breaking Miller's leg, but pointed out that he's tired of being overlooked for main event matches. He hopes that as a result of the incident, people will begin to sit up and take notice of him as a fine wrestler in his own right. Meanwhile, Miller is having a little bit of trouble sitting up at all. He now has 7 screws in his leg.
Well, I think people will just say you're an unsafe worker and not want to work with you. You'll never get in the main event. That way, if you're going to break some dude's leg.
Didn't you have that story about... I'm almost positive you had the Jules Strongbow story. Or was that
I mean, I saw else? Jules Strongbow wrestle once.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
he was at that Legends Wrestling indie show in Buffalo.
That's right.
But he was there.
Mike Miller, and he broke his leg.
Yeah. He didn't break anyone's leg, though.
Oh, okay, good. Here you go. Inquiring reporter. And it asks a question, and the fans write in. Who is your favorite young wrestler? And so we have a picture. We have one picture. Well, we have people like... Scott Armstrong, somebody loves Scott Armstrong, somebody loves Brett Wayne Sawyer. Al Perez gets a shout out.
Oh.
Al Perez, 1984.
Who doesn't love Al Perez?
Everybody loves Al Perez. And then there's Eddie Gilbert, and I don't know if this picture is pre or post car accident, because after his car accident, he had to grow the beard to hide the scar from the car accident. But yeah, it must be pre then, because very young Eddie Gilbert. And also they have a picture of Brad Rangins.
Yeah.
Which... calling Brad Rangins young anything, I think, is a I mean, in term, maybe in terms of career, yes, but age wise, I think he looks like he's fucking like 40.
Yeah.
He's always 40.
He's got chest hair.
Yes, he does. He did not wax. Very important. And then we get to the superstar top wrestlers answers your question of the month. And the question of the month is, what is your most powerful weapon in the ring? Well,
yeah. You
know, people are talking about their finishers, about strength, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
We have our first confirmed quote.
Yes. So what happened was, so it's a picture of the masked superstar. And he says, quote, "We all saw on television what I did to Eddie Gilbert, and we all saw what happened to Bobby Backlund in Madison Square Garden. My corkscrew neckbreaker is the most lethal weapon in professional wrestling. Anyone who dares to get into the ring with me is taking his own life, or is risking his own life, or whatever." The reason why I couldn't read the last part is because the masked superstar signed this part, because I met him at Wrestle Reunion 2 in King of Prussia back in 2005, and I took this magazine. I probably bought this along with the Piper magazine. And I had this magazine back then, and I was like, you know, hey, I need something for you to sign. So I had this, and I was like, can you sign this? And I go, and I'm sitting, he's signing it, Billy, he's signing it, and I go, did you say that? And he goes, is it printed in there? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, then I said it.
So it's a confirmed quote.
Confirmed quote. Bill Apter did not write that quote. All these other quotes are fake. This one from Bill Eadie, the masked superstar, a.k.a. Strong Machine, a.k.a. Demolition Axe.
A.k.a. Axis the Demolisher.
Axis the Demolisher. a.k.a. Jake Bullet. What was his fucking name in No Holds Barred? I can't remember his name.
Oh, I don't
Bullet
know.
Jake.
I haven't seen
Jake Bullet or something. He looked like a drag queen in there. I'm not saying. I'm sorry. He just looks. He's wearing a lot of glitter. Yeah, he confirmed that he said this. So it's legit.
Andre the Giant is his size.
Andre, duh.
Yeah.
Barry Windham says it's his lariat. Jake Roberts says the DDT.
Yeah, it's, you know. What did Jerry Lawler say his was?
His mind.
Oh, go get him.
Yeah.
That's a lame answer.
Junkyard Dog says it's the fans.
Oh.
Ken Patera says it's a boulder.
It's even Junkyard Dog.
No,
even Junkyard Dog knows his thump sucks.
Well, Junkyard Dog just kind of sucked in general.
Yeah.
He wasn't as good as... Well, he's one of those guys where, like... You know, once you get it, once he's in the ring and everything he's doing to get the fans riled up, like, that's awesome. But the actual wrestling sucks.
Yeah.
It's like he's getting there, but everything, all the angles and stuff, like he is top notch. But as a wrestler, no. Scrapbook. I'm going to skip over to Scrapbook I don't care about the past. David Von Erich.
He's the wrestler of the month.
Wrestler of the month.
So he's not dead yet.
He's not dead yet. I was actually looking at this. I was like, okay, so February.
Pretty soon he's going to be dead.
Well, February 84. I mean, I can't remember. I don't know when he died. I shouldn't know.
I thought it was like in 84.
It was in 84, but it was somewhere, you know, it's not too far, too long after this.
Yeah. So he's the wrestler of the month, and then he's dead. Maybe it was the jinx of Sports Review Wrestling. Maybe that's what
that caused him. The acute enteritis.
Yeah. I don't want to make jokes about David Von Erich dying, but I mean, they're all dead now, so who cares?
It'd be one thing.
Not like he's going to ever be on the show.
It'd be one thing if one Von Erich died, but I guess it's all of them are dead.
They're all dead except for Kevin.
Kevin's the only one alive.
He's the only one who could work, actually. Going back and watching the Von Erich matches.
Kerry was okay.
Kerry sucked. Kevin was the best one, I think. Like, as far as match-wise goes, I think Kevin was the best. Yeah.
Moving on from the Von Erichs. Mike Rotondo.
He had an interview with Mike Rotondo, and
I'm gonna keep turning the page.
Yep, what I would do.
They love Mike Rotondo in these books.
I don't blame them. Mike Rotondo's great, but
I don't want to. I don't care enough.
Yeah,
I don't know. Rick Martel and Cowboy Bob Orton at stake, two title shots. Apparently, they had a good old fight in St. Louis, and apparently, the idea was they wrestled each other and. Because both of them are trying to get shots at the respective titles. Because he's in the Martel's in AWA and Bob's in NWA at this time.
Oh, okay.
Which again, this is another one of those magazines where it's like just before things started changing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just, you know, Bob Orton's just about to go to WWF and, you know, make all sorts of money.
So they're like, let's have a match, and then if I win, maybe I'll get an AWA title shot. And Bob Orton's like, I'm not in the AWA. beating me should have no standing on the AWA rankings whatsoever.
Yeah.
And Martel's like, God damn it, let's have a match. So they had a match.
They had a match, and it looks like it was a wild match. Like, yeah. He's about to give Rick Martel, of all people, is about to give Bob Orton a pile driver on the outside.
Yeah.
Which is not very Rick Martel-like.
No, it's not.
But he is hungry for a title bout.
He'd get that title bout.
He probably did. Well, yeah. I think he... Did he... Was he already champion by that point?
By 84? No, he was more like 86?
No, 84. No, 80. I'm blanking now.
He was already in WWF by 86. Yeah.
80. When did he lose to... Maybe it was 84 because he was champ from like maybe late 83. I'm probably wrong, but
well,
late
80... he probably beat Backlund and then was in line for the shot because he, or Orton rather.
Yeah, and then he won and he beat Jumbo Tsuruta.
Yeah.
And then he lost the belt to Hansen. And Hansen, that didn't happen until like 85.
Yeah.
All right. Glad we figured that out.
Yeah.
Iceman King Parsons. He leaves his opponents cold.
When I saw this, I thought, okay, is this the heel Iceman King Parsons that they're talking about?
No.
No, he was leaving them cold. As a face.
No, he's a face. He's the big face at this time, you know, in Mid-Atlantic he started out in Mid-Atlantic and he went to Texas and whatever, and he's tearing it up there, and he's wrestling Boris Zirkov.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't ever really figure out when Private Jim Nelson ended and Boris Zirkov started. Probably around, I guess, it hasn't been around this time. But yeah, he's taking the Freebirds to the limit and
Doug Summers.
Doug Summers. Was that Doug Summers? No. Yeah. Oh, it is Doug Summers. R.I.P. Doug Summers.
Is King Parsons even still alive?
He's still alive. Oh, okay. I think he's still around. But yeah, he's he's a fun-loving guy, and he's...
Came up with the name Rudy Poo.
He did.
Yeah.
Rudy Poo Candy Ass.
Yeah.
That was the Rock cribbed that and made millions of dollars off of it.
Yeah, off of Iceman King Parsons.
Mil Mascaras and Dos Caras, One Night Reunion. Dos Caras, of course, is Albert Del Rio's father.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of... They wrestled the Infernos in Puerto Rico. I don't really see much of this because they're like, oh, these guys can't survive because they're brothers. I didn't know they were brothers. I thought Mil Mascaras was always kind of like just by himself.
Yeah.
But apparently
they were a tag team.
Yeah. And they're wrestling. And
was he Mil Mascaras or was he something else? Or was he Uno Caras and then his brother was Dos Caras?
Uno. Yeah, that's funny.
And then they broke up and he became Mil Mascaras.
That had been a long time ago because I don't ever remember a time when he wasn't Mil Mascaras.
Yeah. That's
Uno Caras.
That's my origin story of Mil Mascaras. He was Uno Caras.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm sticking by it. And then there's our cover story. Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer reaches a bloody end, and we just have. So this is the structure of the stage. They had a cage, or was it just a one cage? It's a cage that went over the ring.
Yeah,
they had a ceiling.
It was a roofed cage, and then they
really
had
low cage.
Paul Ellering suspended in a cage above the cage.
Yeah, the shark cage.
Yeah. Paul Ellering, by the way, was the manager. However, he's in gear. So, like, he's, like, in his wrestling gear.
Yeah.
Even though he was only the manager. They weren't a tag team.
Well, I think...
I'm assuming he wrestled as well as managed at this point.
Well, he did, but he probably didn't wrestle that much. But I know that at the end of this match, because if you watch the tape, if you see the video, like, as soon as Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich finish up, Ole Anderson comes to the ring and starts beating the piss out of... Paul Ellering.
Yeah.
Because apparently that was a stipulation where they're supposed to have a match.
They finally had a shark cage gimmick at SummerSlam, which you didn't see.
I did see the video, and I'm disappointed that the match actually didn't take place in the shark cage itself.
It was the worst match on the show.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
It was like 20 minutes of Cass working Big Show's hand. That's
right.
All the whole match was. It really took the whole life out of the show.
While Enzo just farted around up in the cage.
Yeah. And then he finally gets out of the cage only to get kicked in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Serves him right. He's all the stuff I hear about him now. Apparently, did you hear about he was in Buffalo recently? Because this is kind of related to our hometown.
Yeah.
He was in Buffalo recently and he ran afoul of a stripper.
Yeah. I heard that story.
Yeah. He was out there trying to be a baller and he was being a jerk or something. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But he's on 205 Live now.
Yeah.
Because Cass is out for like a year with his torn ACL.
That
so
sucks.
They're like, what are we going to do with Enzo? Let's make him a cruiserweight. He's small. I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
He's small, but he's terrible at wrestling.
Yeah.
He's just going to get his ass handed to him. Or maybe he won't. Who knows? Maybe he'll get better. I hope he does. Yeah, but a lot of great shots here of just everybody's bloody. Like, Buzz Sawyer is just covered in blood, and they're beating the shit out of each other. Basically, the article is just like a play-by-play of this. And then eventually, we get I guess so. Ole Anderson starts beating up on Paul Ellering and they're bloody. Pretty crazy. So, and yeah, now you can watch that match on the network if you're curious about it. You know, it's not very good, but the concept, I mean, it's Hell in a Cell before there was Hell in a Cell, basically. So, and it's a very low cage. It's like a War Games cage, but only like one cage. Savagery of a bull rope match. Austin Idol beats Stan Hansen at his own brutal game. And basically, it's just a lot of like how people were telling Austin Idol, don't wrestle Stan Hansen in a bull rope match.
And he's like, fuck you, I'm going to.
Fuck you, I'm going to do it.
And he did it.
And apparently, at this time, Jimmy Hart was managing, I think he managed Austin Idol before, and then he managed Stan Hansen in Memphis for when he was there.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of weird.
I can't picture Jimmy Hart with Stan Hansen.
But. I know that's a weird pairing. That's like a pairing you would get like if you're doing like a WWE like 2K universe, and to be like, you know, manager comes out to recruit somebody and it's Jimmy Hart and he's like, I'm calling out Stan Hansen. You know, your call, Stan Hansen.
Yeah, and be more like, I'm calling out Stan Hansen.
Yeah, baby, I'm Jimmy Hart. Yeah, so we just get to play by play about this story too. So lots of blood in this one too. Actually, this picture is pretty wild because, like, Austin Idol is like, you know, he's got blonde hair, you know, when he bleeds, it's very stark. And, like, half of his face just looks like it's gone because it's covered in blood. So it's, you know, and it's black and white. Nothing better than black and white wrestling photos.
Yeah. With blood.
With blood. Love them. And then we have Kansas City Chaos, Night of Superstar Action. It's just a bunch of schmuck match. I mean, random ass matches.
You have Super Destroyer versus Avalanche Tyler. I mean, come on now. How much more do you want?
I don't want any of it. I'm not interested. I mean, he's a bunch of guys.
Who the hell is Superstar? Or who the hell is Avalanche Tyler?
Buzz Tyler. Avalanche Buzz Tyler. Oh. He was in... he had a match at Great American Bash 1985.
Oh.
He was there. He was one of those guys. There's like...
Look that one up.
Yeah, look that one up.
Is that on the network?
I don't know if Bash 85 is on the network. I don't know. I feel like that one's missing. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But you just get a bunch of things here. You got this one dude, this Big Mike Pagan. He's freaking big. That's like that's what it says.
Oh, yeah, he is pretty big.
He's pretty big for like a dude, but I guess he's like one of those like fast wrestling big guys. Apparently, there's blood in that match, too. It just looks like a random-ass match. And apparently, there's... Jerry Brown just pulled out a thing and started stabbing him with it.
Good. That's what he gets.
And then you have Karl Krupp, Killer Karl Krupp, European champion. He won the belt from D'Lo Brown.
Now he's defending against
Bulldog Bob Brown. Yeah.
He only faces guys named Brown.
Yeah, that's right. It does. Yeah. That's how he went. The only people that are named Brown can only compete and win the European title.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Krupp was disqualified when he refused to release the claw hold after gaining the submission. What a shitty finish.
Did you watch the Dinner for Three with the Nation of Domination?
No, but I've heard about it. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It's just the Godfather. It's Farouk and
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry. And the Godfather has confirmed that D'Lo Brown is working at his strip club now.
So. Is this strip park in Vegas, right? Yeah, it's Cheetahs. Vegas, yeah. See, I was in Vegas recently. I didn't... Yeah, you know, we were actually trying to figure out, like, we were going to go to a strip club.
Yeah.
And why didn't I think about going there?
I don't know.
I don't know. It didn't come up on any lists. Because we were like, we didn't know. We were just like, I guess we're going to go to a strip club. And well, we were like, oh, well, I guess we'll go to this one. But I was like, that's right. He works there. And I think, like, he's the manager. And D'Lo works there. And, like... Disco Inferno works there, I heard.
Oh, wow.
But they don't like being recognized. I actually did it the one time I was in Vegas and I was in a cab with my friend and something happened where the cab had got pulled over for some reason and the cop that was on a bike was talking to him and he was like telling... I forgot what the point of contention was, but he goes, hey... Just let you know, I don't want you to, you know, don't want you to mess up again because I don't want Officer Rico, you know, Rico being, get on your case. He's like, oh, I don't want to mess with Rico. And I knew they were talking about Rico Constantino.
Wow.
Because Rico, that's what his job was before, you know, when he was doing American Gladiators or whatever, or if he was a contestant or not, but he was a Las Vegas police officer. And then after wrestling, he went back to doing that.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh shit, Rico could have came and busted this guy. So
I remember one time I was in a cab in Mexico in Tijuana, and the guy got pulled over because he was missing his rear view mirror. And even getting in the cab, I was like, this guy doesn't even have his rear view mirror. And sure enough, he got a ticket for it while I was in the cab.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the law's at work. What else we got here? Yeah. And then there's a loser leave towns match. Buzz Avalanche Tyler versus Superstar Destroyer. And Buzz Tyler won.
Good.
Yeah.
See you later, Super Destroyer.
Goodbye.
Probably just put on another mask.
Goodbye, Irwin brother.
Yeah.
Under mask. And then we have ratings analysis. This is weird because they put the ratings analysis before the ratings.
Yeah.
And it basically, there's a part here where it just talks about how they put Mid-Southern instead of Southwest Championship Wrestling. They're just like, fuck Southwest. And then it talks about Abdul the Butcher. He has been on a bloody rampage.
In Florida.
In Florida, where he beat up Dusty Rhodes. Then he went to Georgia and beat up a bunch of people. And then, he's just on a rampage. And
then he stayed in Georgia and opened up a barbecue.
He did.
He's like, I beat up everybody. Now I'm going to feed him.
Now they got to come to me to eat.
Yeah.
And apparently that got him in the most hated ratings this month.
I guess he is a legit butcher if he owns a barbecue.
He did. Yeah. He became
a butcher.
He had a true to his name. He's like, I've cut some meat before. That's what I'm doing. So the ratings now are more like we were familiar with. And then you have top 10. Why is Mil Mascaras in the top 10? What the hell is he competing for? I don't know.
The hearts of many.
Uno Caris.
Yeah.
Uno Caris. And then you have tag teams. You got, just your usual 1984 suspects. Samoans. You got, the Zambui Express, number 5. Elijah Akeem and Kareem Muhammad. That's pretty high for them. I never realized they were that competitive. Even more so than the Fabulous ones.
Look at number 7. I didn't even know that was a tag team. Butch Reed and Jim Neidhart.
That's right. That was a Mid-South team.
Yeah.
That was them winning the South. That was a random team that was in Mid-South.
Was that the Neidhart's Raiders?
Neidhart's Raiders.
Yeah, there was like a stable called Neidhart's Raiders.
Where, in Mid-South?
Maybe that was in Memphis. Yeah, now that maybe. I think about it, it's Memphis.
I'm always interested in Jim Neidhart's early career because he jumped around to like Florida, and he was in Mid-South, and then he was in he started out in Stampede. Yeah, it's
married Bret Hart's sister.
Married Bret Hart's sister.
And he had Natalya.
Yeah, and then he was set for life up until the point he wrestled for.
Natalya's great, by the way. I'm glad she's now finally the women's champion because, I mean, I know she's had the title before, but she's great.
She's really good.
Yeah.
I think personality-wise, I think she doesn't always click.
Yeah.
But I think as a wrestler, she's very good.
Yeah.
So, NWA, let's see. There was nothing really here. Rufus R. Jones is from Boston? I didn't know that.
Well.
That's interesting.
Ric Flair coming in at number 7.
Yeah, that's what I was going to point out here because he's not even like...
Right above Avalanche Tyler.
Yeah. Avalanche...
Or right above Tommy Rich. He's above Avalanche Tyler.
Well, at least he's beating Avalanche Tyler.
He's not beating Rufus R. Jones.
Yeah, what the hell is Rufus R. Jones doing? I'm assuming he's champ of Central States. That's probably why he's up there. But because he's not U.S. champ. And this is right before... So this has to be right, because it doesn't say when the date is. I don't know if it did. I don't know if I missed it or not, but it's right before Starrcade 83. And it's probably also because he was hurt. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, they hurt him before the match, and then he came back and he beat Harley Race. So maybe that's why he's so low in the ratings. Yeah, because Valentine's the U.S. champ. And then you have, Mid-Atlantic, he's number 1. Valentine is... Rufus R. Jones is number 2. What was it? Maybe he was TV champ.
Yeah, maybe.
That makes sense. Yeah, and then you got Slater and Piper and Flair and Orton, Kabuki, Charlie Brown from out of town, Bugsy McGraw and Kevin Sullivan. And then you got Florida, you got Georgia, WWF, Bob Backlund, still champ. Mass Superstar, number 1.
Yeah.
Morocco, number 2. Why is Morocco not number 1? I don't know.
Yeah, it must have been the way they... Well, I guess... I don't know. I'm not even going to figure it out.
I don't understand how they do this. And then... I'm trying to think. These are all... If I was watching all this wrestling back then, I would be very happy. Because these are all awesome rosters.
But you weren't. You were watching whatever part of the country you lived in.
I know.
So we were probably watching this.
WWF or...
Or Georgia on the CBS Superstation if we were lucky enough to have.
Was AWA back on... No, probably wasn't on ESPN yet.
Not at that point.
No.
No.
Bummer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's show. Sports Review Wrestling from February 1984. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at AngryHeroSean, as well as also check out my other podcast, Worst Collection Ever, on Apple Podcasts.
Sweatpants Joe, Twitter and Instagram. Like us on those things. Go to our Facebook page, like the page. And give us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, because that would really help grow the podcast.
Yeah, it'd be dope. Yes, please do that so you can get yourself some shirts.
Yeah, because we're raffling a t-shirt. As soon as we reach 50 5-star reviews, we're not that far away from it now. I say that very loosely. we'll draw everyone's names in a hat, and we will have a drawing for a free t-shirt.
Yeah. So yeah, hop on that, and thanks for listening, folks. We really appreciate it. Tell your friends about the show. Tell them to check it out if they like kayfabe or they don't like kayfabe and they like stupid wrestling stories. You can enjoy us. So thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.